Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight, into the destiny, the call, the purpose of God that was created for us long before the foundations of the world. But as we obey Christ, as we live obediently to his will and his way, we see the manifestation of his power demonstrated in our life, because we're able to show someone Christ, we're able to live a life that is pleasing, and we're able to be the example for someone else to follow. God always chooses unlikely people, and he calls them for a purpose and a plan that they themselves never, ever knew and cannot do outside of him. So we're so thankful and grateful that God has chosen us for such a time as this. We're growing every single day as we live out the word, apply the word, believe the word, stand on the word. We're growing every single day in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not perfect, but God called us, and his grace and his mercy is sufficient. It covers us so that we can continue to be the people that we're striving to be in him, and we're striving to be more and more like him, taking off that old man, and we understand that that old man has died, so the characters and the mindsets and the ways of that old man, we're crucifying every single day. We're crucifying it with the word. We're crucifying it with our faith and decrees of faith, and we're commanding our inner man, our spiritual man, to live more, to become more like Jesus Christ, and to exemplify his character, his love, his truth. So we are looking today back in the unlikely place of blessing. We've been in this series for a while, started last year, and we're continuing, and we're looking at an unlikely place of blessing, and it's dealing with leadership skills and being built up as a leader. David himself was called by God, chosen by God, not by man. Saul was chosen by man, but David was chosen by God. That means God did not go by the same traditions of men. He didn't go in the order of men, and he did what was his will and what was pleasing to him and what was good in his sight. And he chose David, the eighth child, in the house of Jesse. And we thank God that it was not according to man's purpose, a man's plans, because if that was the case, his older brother would have been chosen. But David had the heart of a leader. He had the heart of a warrior. He had a heart that showed the character of tenderness and compassion like Jesus Christ, which was needed for the people that he was going to be leading. And so he was a leader. David was a leader that basically he wanted to please God and wanted to bring God glory. And as a leader, you've got to understand that it's not about you. Sometimes we can get caught up into people recognizing us, people calling our name, people serving us, and that's not what it is. It's all about God getting glory and lives being changed by the power and the love of God. And if you're the vessel that God is using, then that responsibility is taken very seriously, because it's not about titles. And people can get caught up in titles and they not have the character that goes with the title. They have not allowed God to process them and take them to the place where they are being changed from their old habits and their old ways. Even though the old man has died, they have habits and ways that need to be crucified. And because they're not allowing that to happen, they arrive at a place with a title that does not have the character to back who they are in Jesus Christ at that particular time. It's not that God has not called them or ordained them. If he has, it means that we have to allow God to do some work in us. And we cannot allow our own flesh or our own reasoning or even the reasoning of the world to make us think that we don't have to change, we don't have to pursue the will of God, we don't have to be like him, we don't have to live holy. That is not true. The Lord would have never written those things if it was not what he desired for us to be. And he desires us to be that because that's what he's called us to. And even in our process, we're still striving. We're not allowing just anything and everything to happen to us as leaders and just do anything. We are saying, God, for you I live, for you I die. So I'm going to live a life that is pleasing to you so that other people will be drawn and they will know that you live through me greatly. So David was a man that wanted God to get glory out of his life. And if you look at David's life, you see that he's not perfect. But David didn't go around practicing sin. He didn't go around just doing anything and everything. The times that you see that David failed in the Bible or he made a mistake in the Bible were times that you see that it were big things. But he ultimately tried to live a life that is pleasing to God. He lived a life that was a life for the glory of God. And he understood the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the forgiveness of God. And he wanted to please God more than anything else. You have to want to please God as a leader. You have to want to please God, not people, not your flesh. You have to want passionately to please God and pursue the things of God. David was that type of leader. He was anointed a king long before the foundations of the earth. God had already saw David, knew him, and had already chose him. God already had him set apart for his glory. That's why he didn't allow the bear or the lion to destroy him. There are things in your life that God didn't allow to destroy you, to get you, to take you down, because he had a call for your life. He had a purpose for your life, and he was going to make sure that purpose happened. I don't care what you've gone through, and every one of us has something in our lives that we have gone through, that we've faced. Every one of us has something in our life that we can tell a story about that was unfair, unjust, something that tried to destroy us, tried to take us out, something that tried to really make us hate God. There's always something that we can all reflect back on. But thanks be unto God who caused us to triumph. He does not allow us to stay in the state of pain, the state of hurt, of discouragement. He allows us to move on to the place of victory. David himself, before he ever became king, could have talked about how his father and his brothers did not honor him or respect him or treat him fairly. But it didn't matter. His heart was towards the Lord. And God used that place where he was not receiving from his family to build an intimate relationship. And that's what you have to do. No matter where you haven't received something in your life, or the enemy is trying to make it seem as if something is wrong with you because you haven't received, or people haven't respected you, or you've been considered the black sheep of the family, rejected and not seen, even may have gone through being adopted in foster homes, and all kinds of things could have happened to you. That don't allow those things to keep you in a place of bondage. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That's the time for you to run into Christ, run into his will, and let his will be done in you. And as you do, you're going to build that intimate relationship that God wants. You're going to rely and depend on the Lord. And as you rely and depend on the Lord, you are depending on him because you understand he's your answer. And when you get ready to go forth in ministry or go forth in that business or that home, whatever it is, you're going to be depending on God, hearing his voice, answering to him, responding to him, obeying him. And as you do, you're going to see change. You're going to see turnaround. You're going to see a move. Doesn't mean that you're never going to have any attacks or the enemy's never going to come after you. It just means you've learned how to depend on God when everyone else may fail you, when everything around you may not look like what God said. You've learned how to depend on God and know that he's faithful and he's going to do what he promised you in your life, in your situation. And you have to know that because the enemy will come with temptation. He will come with all kinds of things to your mind. He will come to try to attack you emotionally or your character to make you back down and not pursue the things of God. But you've got to pursue those things and know that God is faithful. David didn't back down just because his brother was questioning him and even accusing him when it came time for him to fight before he fought Goliath. He was asking a question, and his brother began to attack him with words. But David didn't back down because of that. He had a righteous indignation in him about what was going on, and he saw the character of the people. He saw what shape they were in. They were bound in fear, and he knew that something had to happen, and he understood the covenant that he had with God, and he had depended on God many, many times before. So here he is now. He's still depending on God because in him he knew that God had commissioned his life for something great and that God was going to use him. So he understood that I can't back down just because I'm being challenged. I know how to do what God's telling me to do without being nasty and mean or any of those things. You see righteous character in David each time. We're going to go over the victory of the Goliath and what you see in leaders, even David, and what you can see in a leader of God when they begin to move in the things of God. And the first thing that we see is that a leader must, and we went over these briefly yesterday, we're going to try to get through them today, a leader must be have a different perspective than the crowd. You cannot allow what the crowd sees or what the crowd hears or what the crowd is saying to move you. Your perspective has always got to be a perspective of victory, a perspective that says, I believe God, I see an opportunity where they see problems, I see an open door where they see a closed one, I see God using me and moving in my life. The next thing, you have to have a different method than others. David could not use Saul's armor. His method was a slingshot. That's what his method was. Your method is not going to be everybody else's. You're not going to be able to do it the way they do it. God is going to give it to you, and you're going to have to walk out what he's telling you the way he gives it to you. And you're going to have to see that vision in your own spirit, in your own mind, in your own with your own eyes, and watch that thing come to pass. Because someone else's vision is not yours. If you tell someone else what do they see, describe something to someone and tell them what do they see about it, they're always going to see something different and other than you. So what God gives you is going to be what you see and what he showed you and how it's supposed to be. The next thing is you must have a righteous conviction. David understood that he was in covenant with a righteous God and a covenant-keeping God, and that Goliath was not in covenant with God. He was a pagan. So he was talking like a foolish person, not understanding the covenant of God and what God had done for the children of Israel all through time, and that they had a testimony, an overcoming testimony about God had delivered, set them free, and brought them through, and that their forefathers came out because of the hand of God. So they had an overcoming testimony and covenant with God that David understood. The next thing is you must have a righteous motive. David had righteous motive. He understood that Goliath was speaking and coming against the God of Israel. He was coming against the God who had done so much. And so his motives were not for his glory, but it was defending the God that he served, but also it was showing something to the Israelites that God was mighty and powerful enough to defeat what they could not see as being defeated. The next thing is, you have to have a vision. You have to have a vision, and it has to be a godly vision. David wanted everyone to see God, and he didn't want them to see him. He wanted to see the God of Israel, because by him showing God, it encouraged the people and caused the men to get up and take courage themselves. The next thing is you have to experience victory, and you have to have an experience with victory in your past. That means you've got some things that God has done for you. David had the lion and the bear. He had a testimony that he could go back and pull from that said, God has done some things for me. As a leader, you've got to have a testimony of how God has helped you, has allowed you to win, has allowed you to overcome some stuff, so that when you teach and preach to others, they can see how God, if God delivered you, if God helped you, if God healed you, that he's going to do the same thing for them. So you have to have that overcoming experience of victory in your life, that God has done something more for you than just saved you, that as you've been journeying with him, you've seen his hand, you've seen his victory in your life, you see him bring you through some things, that you have a testimony that is growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. You have a testimony that you can build on, that God has done some things. The next thing is you have to have a different attitude about problems when you face them. You can't face problems like everybody else, and you can't look at them like everybody else, and you can't react like everybody else. David saw Goliath as a target that was too big to miss, and that's what you have to see. Your problems, God is going to be, they're so big, God can't allow you to miss how you're going to come out and what he's going to do. David was a mighty warrior. He was valuable. He was a team player. He was an obedient servant. He was a man of influence, and he was an effective leader. All of these qualities was what was seen in the life of David from everyone that met him when he defeated Goliath, and they were built on. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. This is all we can do for today, and it was just getting good, but we're going to come back next week and give you some more about this leadership in the place of unlikely blessings, and God is going to be good, and he's going to stretch us, and he's going to keep us. Have a blessed and wonderful worship experience this weekend. Know that God is faithful, and all that he's doing in your life is going to work out for your good. Have a blessed day.